RNZ Pacific News, read by Don Wiseman. Fijians have been told if they want their lives to return to normal, they must get vaccinated now. Head of the Vaccination Task Force, Dr. Rachel Devi, who says the government hopes that by inoculating as many people as possible over the age of 18 can stop the spread of the Delta variant of the COVID-19 outbreak.
We know that apart from the containment measures that we're doing in the country, vaccination is one key element of it. And especially when we know that fortunate that we know that the AstraZeneca vaccine that we have in Fiji works against the Delta variant as well.
More than 13,000 tonnes of personal protective equipment and medical supplies, with almost $500,000, have arrived in Fiji from New Zealand. The High Commissioner, Jonathan Kerr, says a second consignment was sent from Auckland on Tuesday to further bolster the Fijians' fight against the escalating COVID-19 crisis. Fiji has almost 2,500 positive people in isolation since the latest outbreak started in April, with 11 deaths confirmed. The Cook Islands will keep quarantine-free travel in place with New Zealand. Flights out of Auckland to Rarotonga proceeding as normal this morning. The decision was made by the Cook Islands government late last night in a cabinet meeting. Officials are monitoring the situation in Wellington after a COVID-19 positive tourist from Australia visited the city over the weekend. Government spokesperson Jaewyn Mackay says extra precautions are being taken at Rarotonga Airport. She says travellers arriving from New Zealand go through additional health screening. The Papua New Guinea Member of Parliament for South Bougainville says a violent dispute near Kakamono is being resolved. Tim Musiu, who's the Communications Minister in the James Marape government, has confirmed that one man was killed and others injured. He says reports of houses being burned down are incorrect, though several huts were destroyed. Mr. Musiu says in the past in Bougainville, such disputes would have quickly escalated to involve entire communities. That is no longer the case.
It's been contained and there's no more fighting or no more, you know, disputes. Both families want to come back and shake hands and live, and those the incident, the killing and all this, they'll be sorted out in the own village ways, and that is to compensate and of course to say sorry to each other.
Japan's plans for disposal of nuclear waste water into the Pacific is a major focus of the new head of the Pacific Islands Forum, Henry Puna. Mr. Puna, the former Cook Islands Prime Minister, has sought a rethink from Tokyo on its plan to release treated water from the destroyed Fukushima nuclear power plant into the Pacific. He says he's met with the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, which recently said Japan's dumping plan was technically feasible. Following the meeting, Mr. Puna said forum members still have concerns that need to be resolved with the disclosure of information based on science. Vanuatu is to launch a literary first with an anthology of women's writing. The new book features work from three generations of women, spanning an age from just 20 to an octogenarian. Dominic Godfrey reports.
Sister Stun Up Strong contains poetry, fiction, essay, memoir and song. Its stories span from the late 1800s blackbirding era, when raiders seized labourers for Queensland's plantations, to independence in 1980 and the present day. Most writers are resident in Vanuatu, with others in New Zealand, Fiji, Canada and Solomon Islands. Sister Stun Up Strong tackles subjects such as racism, colonialism and sexism head-on, with a Vanuatu women's lens. Poet Selena Tustala-Marsh calls it astute and emotionally honest. The launch and mini writers festival begins tomorrow at the Vanuatu National Museum in Port Vila.
Pacific countries have voiced their opposition to the ongoing US blockade of Cuba. The UN General Assembly condemned the nearly 60-year-old embargo on Cuba for the 29th year in a row, calling for it to end in an overwhelming vote.
The result of the vote is as follows. In favour, 184. Against, 2. Abstentions, 3. Draft resolution A/75/L97 is adopted.
Only Israel voted with the US. Kiribati's representative at the UN, Deborah Sito, wore a tie made by Annie Kiribati, whose life was saved by Cuban doctors, conveying the extensive help Cuba's given his country. The Solomon said the blockade continued to undermine the development of Cuba, which had given medical help to the Pacific country and trained its health professionals. The $4 million the New Zealand government has promised for flood-affected Ashburton farmers has been described as a good start. The Mayor, Neil Brown, met with the Prime Minister at lunchtime to put his case for more taxpayer funding. Jacinda Ardern is in the region today, meeting with community leaders and farmers. She says they are dealing with a massive recovery and facing significant costs not covered by insurance. Neil Brown also asks for the government help to fast-track a second bridge after the floods damaged the existing one. He was told to wait for the business case to be completed. He says that should be ready in 3 months' time. Japan's Supreme Court has ruled that a law requiring married couples to share the same last name is constitutional. Those wanting change have argued that women's careers can be damaged when they change their name. The BBC's Celia Hatton has more.
The law in Japan requiring married couples to have the same family name dates back to 1898. It was part of a feudal system where women and children came under the control of a male head of the household. That system was formally abolished more than seven decades ago, but the law remains in place. Japan's ruling party, which is dominated by men, says having the same name helps unify families.
The regulations don't stipulate which half of the couple must change their name, but one study shows that 96% of the time it's women who do. The United States Supreme Court has ruled in favour of a Pennsylvania teenager who sued her high school when a profane social media post she made on her own time got her banished from the school's cheerleading squad. Brandy Levy's case has been closely watched as a test of the right to freedom of speech. In its 8-1 majority decision, the courts declined to ban public schools from regulating off-campus speech altogether. It cites specific examples of when they can, for instance, to stop severe bullying or harassment, or to intervene in threats against teachers or other children. And that's the news from RNZ Pacific.